I am happy to be with you here tonight in this priesthood meeting to see the fathers and their sons coming early to the Saturday night priesthood meeting, many of them an hour or two early to be sure of a good seat, and thousands of others, fathers and sons, hurrying to the tabernacle and to the numerous stake and ward buildings all over the country. This is a delightful extension of our family life, which we celebrate and love, and which the world is beginning to recognize as a basic family pattern, to have fathers and sons come together. We are grateful to have you present, and our appreciation for you is great and our affection sincere. We're concerned, brethren, with our need to provide continually significant opportunities for our young men to stretch their souls in service. Young men do not usually become inactive in the church because they're given to many significant things to do. No young man who has really witnessed for himself that the gospel works in the lives of people will walk away from his duties in the kingdom and leave them undone. It is most appropriate for Aaronic priesthood youth as well as Melchizedek priesthood men to quietly and with determination set some serious personal goals in which they will seek to improve by selecting certain things that they will accomplish within a specified period of time. Even if the priesthood holders of our Heavenly Father are headed in the right direction, if they are men without momentum, they will have too little influence. You are the leaven on which the world depends, and you must use your powers and stop a drifting and an aimless world. We hope we can help our young men and young women to realize even sooner that they now do that they need to make certain decisions once, only once. I have mentioned at this pulpit before some determinations made early in my life, which decisions were such a help to me because I did not have to remake those decisions perpetually. We can push some things away from us once and have done with them. We can make a single decision about certain things that we will incorporate in our lives and then make them ours without having to brood and re-decide 100 times what it is we will do and what we will not do. Let me tell you one of the goals that I made when I was still but a lad. When I heard the church leader from Salt Lake City tell us at a conference that we should read the scriptures, and I recognized that I had never read the Bible, that very night at the conclusion of that very sermon, I walked to my home a block away and climbed up in my little attic room in the top of the house and lighted a little coal oil lamp that was on the little table, and I read the first chapters of Genesis. A year later, I closed the Bible, having read every chapter in that big and glorious book. I found that this Bible that I was reading had in it 66 books. And then I was nearly dissuaded when I found that it had in it 1,189 chapters. And then I also found that it had 1,519 pages. It was formidable, but I knew if others did it, I could do it. I found that there were certain parts that were hard for me for a 14-year-old boy to understand. There were some pages that were not especially interesting to me. But when I'd read the 66 books, the 1,189 chapters, and the 1,519 pages, I had a glowing satisfaction that I had made a goal and that I had achieved it. Now, I'm not telling you this story to boast. I'm merely using this as an example to say that if I could do it by a coal oil light, you can do it by an electric light. I have always been glad that I had the Bible. I read it from cover to cover. And I remember that without being pressured by anyone, I made up my mind while still a little boy, that I would never break the word of wisdom. I knew where it was written, and I knew in a general way what the Lord had said. And I knew that when the Lord said it, it was pleasing unto him for me to abstain from all these destructive elements, that the thing I wanted to do was to please my Heavenly Father. So I made up my mind firmly and solidly that I would never touch those harmful things. Having made up my mind fully and unequivocally, I found it not too difficult to keep the promise to myself and to my Heavenly Father. To be sure your life will be full and abundant, you must plan your life. What you plan now when your deacons can assure you an abundant life. Have you already been saving money dedicated to your missions? You may not yet have chosen your business or profession or life's work, but there are many generalities which you can already set up in your life. Even though you may not yet know whether you will be a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, or an engineer, there are decisions you should already have made or now be making. What are you going to do in the years between now and your marriage? And what will you do about your marriage? You can determine now that you will be the most faithful deacon or teacher or priest. You can decide now that with an irrevocable covenant. You can be a good student. You can use your time properly and efficiently. All the balance of your life, you can be happy if you use your time well. You can make up your mind this early that you will fill an honorable mission when you reach mission age. And to that end, that you will now earn money and save it and invest it for your mission. That you will study and serve and use every opportunity to properly prepare your mind and heart and soul for that glorious period of your life. And since you will now establish your goal to fill a mission, remember it costs money to go to the various parts of the world and preach the gospel. Remember then it is your privilege now to begin to save your money. Every time money comes into your hands through gifts or earnings, set at least a part of it away in a savings account to be used for your mission. Every boy would like to be an independent one and furnish his own funds for his mission rather than to ask his parents to do that for him. Every boy in every country in all the world who has been baptized and received the Holy Ghost will have the responsibility of bearing the message of the gospel to the people of the world. And this is also your opportunity, and it will contribute greatly toward your greatness. The question has often been asked, is the mission program one of compulsion? And the answer, of course, is no. Everyone is given his free agency, like he should pay his tithing, like he should attend his meetings, like he should keep his life clean and free from the ugliness of the world, and like he should plan a celestial marriage in the temple of the Lord. I remind you, young men, that regardless of your present age, you're building your lives. It would be cheap and shoddy, or it would be valuable and beautiful. It would be full of constructive activities, or it can be destructive. It can be full of joy and happiness, or it can be full of misery. It all depends upon you and your attitudes. For your altitude, or the height you climb, is dependent upon your attitude or your response to situations. And you, my fine young men, must not be just average. Your lives must be clean and free from all kinds of evil of thoughts or acts. No lie, no theft, no faithlessness, no failure to do that which is right, no sexual sins of any kind at any time. You know what is right and what is wrong. You've all received the Holy Ghost following your baptism. You need no one to brand the act or thought as wrong or right. You know by the Spirit. You're painting your own picture, carving your own statue. It is up to you to make it acceptable. May God bless you, our beloved young men. I know your Heavenly Father is your true friend. Everything he asks you to do is right, and will bring blessings to you and make you manly and strong. The youth of the church should realize that they do not need to be old men, long experienced, to receive the blessings of the church. Joseph Smith was only 14 when he had the vision, 25 when the church was organized, 18 when he met Moroni, 24 when he got the plates, and 39 when he was martyred. Thomas B. Marsh was 31, David W. Patton 30, about the time they become the apostles. These were all young men, so to speak. Brigham Young, 28, and Heber C. Kimball, 28, and Orson Hyde, only 25, and William E. McClellan, 24, and Parley P. Pratt, 23, Luke Johnson, 22, and William Smith, 19, Orson Pratt, 18, John F. Boynton, 18, Lyman E. Johnson, 18. These are the ages when the church was organized on April 6, 1830, and these men, many of them, were of the apostleship. In 1835, the Council of the Twelve was organized, all still young men when they were deprived of Joseph. They were able to inspire boys. They became great missionaries. You young boys need not work to be great. You can be superior missionaries, strong young men, great companions, and happy, trusted church leaders. You need not wait until tomorrow. The Lord bless you as you grow year by year to receive the inspiration of the Lord to be able to pass on the glorious blessings of the gospel. And this, my dear beloved brethren, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.